I'm Kevin Hatchard, and this is the Ultimate Sports Podcast.
And I'm Jay Robson. Here's what's coming up this week.
England face Italy in the Euro 2012 quarterfinals on Sunday. We'll look ahead to the big game in Kiev.
Swansea City have a new manager. We'll assess how Michael Laudrup will adapt to life in the Premier League.
Andy Murray's on bad form going into Wimbledon, but can he turn things around before next week?
And we'll hear from scrum half Danny Kerr on his return to England's rugby team.
OK, Jake, we'll start with Euro 2012 and we'll focus on England's quarterfinal against Italy. The way I see it is that they're two quite similar teams, actually. Both have got match winners, but both like to sit deep and soak up pressure. And both have been, you know, good in qualifying for the quarterfinals, but perhaps not amazing.
No, I don't think there's going to be many goals in it, that's for sure. It's not going to be a high-scoring draw. A draw, though, is one result. It definitely could be, more or less what you've just said there. I noticed that some of the bookmakers said they'd be refunding any losing bets if it went to penalties. So I don't know what that's a bit an interesting one there. They possibly think that.
Yeah, that might not be a bad shout, actually, going to penalties. Because of all of them, it always looked the tightest one. It always looked the one that was most evenly matched. Italy are an interesting team. They started off with a 1-1 draw against Spain and played quite well, I thought. Looked dangerous going forward. Cesare Prandelli, the manager, hasn't quite settled on his front too, whether he'll have Cassano and Di Natale or Cassano and Balotelli. Balotelli's the wild card we just can't predict, isn't he?
I do actually think I've got a sneaky feeling that he could blow up in this game. English players getting under his skin a bit. Maybe not so much that I think people have said, oh, the Man City players are going to now twine up. I think it'd be more sort of, you know, your John Terry's, maybe your Steven Gerrard's, that kind of thing. Maybe Wayne Rooney. So that could definitely be a problem for Italy. Of course, it would be good news for England. But I don't know, I think he might also start because he's had a pretty decent tournament and he can come up, as you said, wildcard, he can come up with something special on his day.
We'll look at the England team. There's been a lot of talk, especially on the right-hand side with James Milner. I think he's had a lot of unfair stick. I think he does a very good job for the team. He allows them to win the ball and spring the counter-attack quickly. But a lot of people campaigning for Theo Walcott or Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain to play on that right-hand side. How do you see that one?
No, I think you're probably right. A bit of unfair stick has come his way. I personally think Ashley Young's play should be more in jeopardy because if you want to get Oxlade-Chamberlain or Theo Walcott in the team, why not give them a go instead of him? I mean, he hasn't really impressed that much. They're sort of a more similar group of players, those three. The obvious change for me, if you want to bring in Walcott or Oxlade-Chamberlain, is play him instead of Ashley Young. I think Milner does a good job on the right. He covers Glenn Johnson. He allows Glenn Johnson to go forward. I think his crossing and going past people, obviously he's not a natural winger, but he's done okay. I mean, he's got a decent cross on him. And I guess the most important thing is he tracks back well. I mean, it's a big gamble. If you get rid of Milner, you perhaps for an Oxlade-Chamberlain or a Walcott, you might leave Glenn Johnson.
You open things up, don't you? Yeah, you absolutely open things up. Well, there's been a lot of talk about expectation ahead of the tournament. Some people didn't expect England to get out of the group, but Joe Hart disagrees with that level of expectation. He says England are at the tournament to win it.
Yeah, there's been a group of people who've not really thought that we'd do well, but I think anyone who knew the players and knew our mentality and what we came here to do, then it's not a surprise. You know, regardless of what some people thought, that was nothing to do with the camp, you know, and the people who were planning for this tournament and, you know, the people supporting back home and the people who've come out.
Have they got further than you expected?
I don't think so. Let's face it, we'd have all been very, very disappointed if England hadn't made it past the group stages. I think if they beat Italy, that will definitely be further than I expected. I mean, looking at it before the tournament, I think I also expected to be drawing Spain because I didn't expect us to win the group. I thought France would win the group. And they, I mean, you know, maybe they should have won the group. But no, I think quarterfinals, everybody said quarterfinals. I mean, to say that England wouldn't have got out of that group, I think, was a bit unrealistic. We, for all the flaws and issues, I mean, we were easily a better team than Ukraine and Sweden when we played against them. Well, not easy against Sweden, but I mean, we beat them. And no, I think, why? What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think, I actually thought England would do well going into the tournament. They've got some very, very good players in that team that play for very high-ranking Premier League clubs that have experience of the very top level of European football. You know, some Champions League winners in there from Chelsea, and England should have confidence going into this game against Italy. I think they're one of a group of teams that can win it. I think once you get to the latter stages of a tournament like this, I think you're talking about very fine margins. And when you compare them with Italy, I think there's a cigarette paper between them. I think it should be very, very close. And I have a sneaking suspicion that England will come out on top and reach the last four.
Well, we all hope so.
Yeah, we hope so. Fingers crossed. We'll move on to domestic matters now. There's been a big appointment in the Premier League this week. The former Denmark captain, Michael Laudrup, is the new manager of Swansea City. Let's hear from him now.
I'm very happy to be here in the Premier. I think it's be a huge challenge for me, but also a great experience.
Laudrup does have experience as a manager, plenty of experience. I think he was given Coach of the Year twice at Brøndby in Denmark, and he did okay with Mallorca. He did very well with Getafe in Spain. It didn't quite work out for him at Spartak Moscow, but generally he's got a decent record, and he's the kind of guy that, you know, from his playing career, 104 caps with Denmark, he knows how to play good football. He was an excellent player himself. It looks a good fit, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, as you say, he's got a decent record, and you can't always say that players as good a record as he had, sorry, when he was playing, doesn't always translate into being a good manager. But as you say, he's got a decent record, and Swansea must be pretty happy with him. Getting some unfair stick this morning, I think, Michael Laudrup, for saying that he'd had to do some research on Swansea and the team, which is it's fair enough, isn't it?
Yeah, I think people have totally misunderstood what he was saying. I think they're making out as if he didn't have a clue where Swansea was, he'd never heard of them before. What he actually said was he researched the club, the way they play. Was their philosophy going to fit with his? And his conclusion was it is. You know, Swansea for many years now have liked to play attractive football where they keep the ball. It was started really by Roberto Martinez. It was carried on by Paulo Sousa. And Brendan Rodgers took that on an extra step and managed to get them into the Premier League and impressed once they got there. He's now earned his big move to Liverpool, but Swansea want to carry on with that philosophy. And I think it's a great job for Laudrup to take because he's got a captive audience. He's got a group of players there that already want to play the way that he'll want to play.
Well, that's the thing. It's not, people forget, don't they, sometimes, that it wasn't just Brendan Rodgers. This is a sort of philosophy, a brand that has been instilled in that club for quite a long time. So it's not going to be, you'd think, it's not going to be the case of, oh, will they be able to carry on playing that way? That's just how they've played for a while now. So, yeah, I mean, for someone like Brian Laudrup, it seems to be a pretty good fit.
We're closing in on Wimbledon, of course. Andy Murray not in great form. Three consecutive defeats on the grass courts. He was knocked out of Queens by the dangerous Frenchman, Nicolas Mahut. And he's lost twice at the Boodles tournament, once to Janko Tipsarevic and once to Novak Djokovic. None of them hammerings any of these matches. Should we not really read too much into this poor form ahead of Wimbledon?
Well, I mean, the Boodles tournament, you know, if it's a difficult one because at Queens, you know, when he loses at Queens, you're kind of thinking, well, he should have done a bit better than that at Queens. It's the tournament before Wimbledon. And then it's two exhibition games, which on the one hand, they're only exhibition games. But if you compared it maybe to, you know, football, if England had lost both their friendlies before the Euros, we would have been pretty sort of downcast about the situation. I mean, ultimately, if he plays Djokovic at Wimbledon anyway, he's probably not going to beat him there anyway. So, but I don't know, it's a difficult one. Mentally, I think it must be quite difficult.
Yeah, he is prone to this kind of dip in form, but when it comes to the Grand Slams, he tends to perform very well. You know, before the French Open, he'd reached six consecutive Grand Slam semi-finals. In some of those tournaments, he got to the final. He was beaten at the French Open by David Ferrer, who's an excellent player on clay, in very good form on clay. It was only the fact he ran into Rafa Nadal in the semis that stopped him. So I think he actually probably exceeded expectations at the French, considering the clay isn't his favourite surface. The Queen's defeat to Mahut was an odd one, really, because he never looked totally comfortable, but he did take it to a final set tiebreak and he just blew up in the tiebreak, which is rare for him. He's actually got a very good tiebreak record. And, you know, the two players he played, Tipsarevic is always a dangerous player on grass and Djokovic is the best player in the world at the moment. So, yeah, I still suspect he'll go deep into the tournament.
Oh, I'm sure he will. And, you know, he obviously, his game is well suited to playing on grass in any case. And, you know, when it comes to sort of fitness and five sets and that kind of thing, he's still, you know, he's worth his place at number four in the world, without a doubt. As far as Grand Slams go, yeah, I mean, we can be reasonably confident. I'm not convinced that he's, at this stage, got enough to win it just because Djokovic is playing so well and Nadal's obviously on some decent form.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, we should expect to be seeing him. I mean, quarterfinals, I think semifinals should be a minimum for Andy Murray.
Well, just one final point as well. This year, more than any year, the pressure should be slightly off him because we've got the Euros, we've got the Olympics coming up. There's a lot of, you know, attention diverted to other things. So perhaps this year, the pressure and the scrutiny won't quite be on him as much.
No, perhaps not. And also, he's kind of got two bites of the cherry at Wimbledon, doesn't he? Because that's where they're going to be holding
the Olympics. Will be, yeah.
The Olympics. So maybe that'll sort of count in his favour as well.
OK, we'll turn our attention to rugby just finally, because England are hoping to avoid a series whitewash on Saturday as they take on South Africa in the final test. The boss, Stuart Lancaster, has made six changes, and one of those sees scrum half Danny Kerr return to the team. After a year out, he's had a number of off-the-field problems, but he's back in the lineup, and he spoke to Nick Heath from the RFU podcast.
Congratulations, a year out of the test team, but now you're back, so obviously delighted.
Yeah, obviously delighted to get the call and can't wait for Saturday to come round. You know, it's been a long wait, an interesting and long year, but, you know, the last few months have been great. Obviously winning the league with Quins, major achievement, and to now get back in a nine shirt for England is a dream come true. So yeah, it's just dead excited to get out there.
What's been said to you about, you know, why you've been picked and what Stuart wants you to do in the game? You know, what style
wants you to play? He just, you know, said go out there and do my thing, do what I've been doing for Quins, which is great for me. It's my natural game to have a go. You know, we have a go when it's on, but also to manage the team well. So obviously me and Floody got a big job to do in managing the team, and you know, looking forward to it.
Big ball carries in the back row, obviously TJ, Tom Waldron, has back in there. Raise the tempo whenever you can, I guess, and get them involved in the game.
Yeah, definitely. You know, the big boys are going to want the ball early doors and get the ball in their hands. And you know, the way we want to play is quick. You know, we can feel that we can hurt them with a bit of tempo. And you know, that's the way I like to play is with the ball in hand and you know, quick ball. So yeah, it's going to be good.
Another similar to your opposite number, Francois Hougard. What are your thoughts on him as a player?
Yeah, he's a fantastic player. I think he's probably been their best player over the two games, and he's a massive threat that we're going to have to hold on to. And you know, he's a great runner, he's a great kicker, great organiser. He ticks all three boxes really. So it's going to be great. Looking forward to matching up against him. And, you know, hopefully I can do well.
You said in the papers today that there's nothing less than a 3-0 victory. You know, there's going to be no let up in intensity from them.
Oh, exactly, yeah. They're a ruthless team. You've seen that in the performances when they've really turned it on. They've put us under a lot of pressure and they'll want to win this game. But, you know, we're the same. We've got nothing to lose. Obviously, we've lost the series, so everything to play for in this last game. We want to build some momentum for next year and, you know, everyone's just excited to get out there.
England put in two good 40-minute performances in the two tests. Unfortunately, they're in different games. What do you think it's going to take for an 80-minute performance? Because if you can do that, you've surely got the tools to win the game.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's a full 80-minute performance. That's what we're searching. You know, Stuart's talked about it. This is the full 80. You know, not obviously the first half, the first 20 minutes in the second test killed us. You know, that lost us the game. And I think the third 20 in the first test, you know, we were poor. So it's about, you know, if you're breaking it down into quarters, you've got to play well in all four quarters and, you know, obviously relieve pressure whenever you can and not let them play in our 22, which is where they're most effective.
It's been a long season, of course. I'm assuming you've got a holiday booked after this, but even assuming that's some manager, don't you think, yeah, I achieved something at the end of the season, you know, apart from Quins, obviously,
yeah.
I want to win the game and go back a winner.
Exactly, yeah, we want to finish up as a winner. Obviously, we've lost the series, but nothing we can do about that now. But, you know, if we can finish this last game, a win in South Africa would be a massive achievement for any team. So, you know, hopefully we can do it.
What's your mate Hugo told you about what it's like to win a test match in New Zealand? Of course, he did in 2009. I'm sure he was going on about it all the time.
Yeah, exactly. You know, him and Mirzi, you know, just talking about the experience of beating South Africa in South Africa. You know, it's a one-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So, you know, I'm just delighted to get the chance to try and help the team to do that on Saturday.
OK, that's it for this week. From Jake and myself, it's goodbye for now.